Good morning, everyone, and welcome again out to the Ennis Ruins Bush. It's a cold morning out. You got to rug up if you're going to get out, and I would say out west, it's pretty frosty. And as we would say in the southern United States, there's some frost on the old pumpkin today. Well, today, we're going to return to our discussion about the most powerful influence in the lives of every single Christian. That's right, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at His personality. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that He won't just be with us, but He will be in us. He will dwell in us. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside. Let that sink in to your mind and into your heart. He told the disciples when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and we know will be in them, that they'll be witnesses to evangelize the world. And we know they started there. And the gospel of Jesus Christ went around the world and eventually came to us. That same Holy Spirit that's in them is in us. That same power that was in them is in us. We should see a marked difference in our lives. I personally believe that everything that God does in our lives is done through the third person of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. Oh, and the old English calls Him the Holy Ghost. You may hear me use that on the occasion because that's what I grew up with. But as I said before, today we'll talk about the personality of the Holy Spirit. But first, we need to be convinced that He is a person. That so many people think that He's just an influence from God and that He is a power that emanates from God. Well, He is both of those, but He is also a person with feelings and a heart. He is a person. And this is why I think so. Jesus said to baptize all disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We know that the Father, God the Father, is a person, although He is a spirit. We know that Jesus is a person. In the Bible, we watched Him being born of a woman. We watched Him cry at the loss of a very good friend. We watched Him as He shed His blood on Calvary for us. So if something is born of a woman and He cries at the loss of a friend, then surely He's a person. And we know that Jesus is a person. We read in the Bible as He walked among men. And today He sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So if we know that God the Father is a person and Jesus the Son is a person, why should we have any doubt that the Holy Spirit is also a person? Why would it be any different? So the Holy Spirit is a person. But there's something else that I want to show you that we need to understand to help us to understand He's a person. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We could stay right there, but that is another message altogether. Now, verse 10. But God has revealed these things to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all these things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Now watch this. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit knows deeply and understands the deep things of God. And keep in mind, that being with that understanding lives inside of us. That is a powerful statement. So the Holy Spirit knows and understands. Only a person can do that. So, is the Holy Spirit a person? I think that closes the door. Yes, He is. Now, let's look at some of the characteristics of the personality of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Paul writes, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now, please understand this. We, you and I, can grieve the Holy Spirit. And grieving means a deep mental anguish. You and I can cause the Holy Spirit to have a deep mental anguish. Let that sink in. We can break the heart of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about that? Let me see if I can explain. Have you ever done something that you know that it breaks the heart of Jesus and you can almost see a tear forming in His eye? You see, I believe when we go off into blatant sin with our eyes wide open, knowing what we're doing, that is grieving the heart of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are heartbroken because we are chasing our own desires. Listen, I've been there. If you do that, and then you finally realize that you're breaking the heart of Jesus, then you will feel the entire weight of your sin upon you, and it should break your heart. If it doesn't break your heart to know that you're breaking the heart of Jesus, do you love Him? I mean, can you possibly know that you're breaking the heart of Jesus and it doesn't break your heart? Can you even do that as a son of God or daughter of God or a Christian? So the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, can be grieved and His heart broken by our actions. But there's something else that I want you to see. James chapter 4, verse number 5. "Or do you think the scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously?" Now, some of the new Bibles change that capital S, which means a divinity, into a small s, which makes it into a man. I disagree with that. I believe that the capital S, is there for a reason. And the older translators got that one right. You see, I know when we get saved that God places the Holy Spirit within our lives. You see, that's what we've been talking about all along. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He dwells in us. And when we start breaking the heart of God, He yearns for us jealously. This scripture teaches clearly that God is jealous of us with a very strong jealousy. Have you ever thought about that? So, what makes the Holy Spirit jealous? Well, I believe when we follow our own way, our own desires, when we clearly know what the Holy Spirit is saying or wanting us to do. It's whenever we start to do something and we know it's wrong. And the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that. Yet we bullheadedly go right on and do it. That makes the Holy Spirit yearn jealously with a deep, deep yearning. It's kind of like we're like Jonah. You know, Jonah knew exactly what God wanted him to do, but he ran the other way purposely. And we're like that sometimes. We know what God wants us to do, yet we say, I'm not going to do that. And we turn and run the other way. Have you ever been there? Perhaps you're feeling the conviction of God upon your heart, even right now. It's time to turn back to the way God wants us to go so we can experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Believe me, when we're following our own way and our own desires, we will never experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Keep that in mind. But there's a few things more that I want to look at about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said something very interesting that I want to read to you. John chapter 16, verse number 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now watch this. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. Let me break that down. The Holy Spirit will only speak and guide according to what Jesus gives Him. I don't believe the Holy Spirit will ever, ever call attention to Himself. He will always call attention to Jesus. A.W. Tozer said that in his observation, it's those people that are the most spiritual speaks the least about the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to highlight Him to where we could better understand who He is and what He does. But you won't see me dwelling on that. You see, I want to dwell on Jesus as the Holy Spirit does. You see, there is still only one name given among men whereby we may be saved, and it is the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, the person and work of the Holy Spirit is and will always be all about Jesus. It would do us well to do the same thing. And one last thing about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that He will be with us or in us forever. When the Holy Spirit comes in and He fills us up, He will never, ever, ever leave us. He will always be in us, leading, guiding, correcting, blessing, impressing. He will be in us, working all the time, warning, convicting, and even shedding a few tears for us. You see, the Holy Spirit will indwell us from the moment of salvation all the way through to heaven. He will pray for us when we're heartbroken. He will shed a tear for us when we break His heart. But you see, He will be just like Jesus. When we get our lives right and we confess that sin, He will quickly forgive us and take us back in and fill us up and use us for the glory of God. And that's what we all want. Amen. Now, one final verse from the Bible that kind of sums up our lives of whether we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit or we're following our own desires. Let me read from Romans chapter 8, verse number 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace. You see, when we follow our own desires and to do what we want and what fulfills the flesh, death is soon to follow. But if we will let the Holy Spirit permeate our mind and our hearts and guide us, then we will have a life of life and peace. You see, that's the difference. When we follow ourselves, our own desires, do the things that we want to, do the things that brings glory to the flesh or feels good, death and destruction is soon to follow. Keep that in mind. However, if we want to have life and peace, then let the Holy Spirit permeate our minds and our hearts and our lives and fill us up, and we'll follow Him, and our lives will be full of life and peace. Doesn't matter the circumstances, we can have life and peace in all things. Isn't that what we want? But the way I see it, that decision is up to us. So what will we choose? Father, help us to make the right decision on this. Help us to stop following our own desires and our own wants. And help us to follow You. Help us to be dominated and permeated and controlled by the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. Father, fill us with that life and peace, that river of life flowing out of us. Let us live continuously that way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.